Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Jeremy Scahill is an investigative reporter for The Nation. I had a chance to talk to him several years ago when he wrote a great expose of Blackwater, the group of government contractors who were serving overseas in our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and were almost like a hidden army that you and I were paying for. Well, now he has a new book and a documentary movie out called Dirty Wars, in which he has once again gone to investigate our covert nature of war in the 21st century, and particularly in Iraq and Afghanistan, and as he says in the movie, the expanded battlefield. Jeremy, welcome to America Weekend.
It's good to be back with you.
I had a chance to see a screener of this movie last night, thanks to your company for sending it to me in advance, and one quote stands out to me, and that is, "The war on terror is a self-fulfilling prophecy." Explain what that means.
Well, you know, for this film, I traveled to the places that you mentioned. You know, we went to Afghanistan and the sort of conventional wars. But then I was also in Somalia and Yemen and other countries. And, you know, what I really have seen over the past decade, really, of doing war reporting and conflict zone reporting is that while the United States certainly is killing legitimate terrorists, and taking out people that are plotting against the United States, we've killed a tremendous number of innocent people in the course of doing that. And I think we've reached a point now where I think we're actually creating more new enemies than we are killing legitimate terrorists. And, you know, for me, the idea that a national security policy could have the end result of undermining national security is really a sort of sobering reality to face. And that's what I've seen time and again in these countries, people saying to me, look, we hate Al-Qaeda, but when you guys kill innocent people with your drone strikes or your night raids, it makes us want to fight you. And so for me, as an American, I feel like we kind of need to wake up to the reality that our own policy is turning on itself. And I think we're putting ourselves at greater risk if we continue down this course.
How much are we relying on the Joint Special Operations Command to fight these wars?
Right. So that just for people to understand, Joint Special Operations Command is basically like an all-star team of the U.S. military. You've got Navy SEALs from what used to be called SEAL Team 6, Delta Force, Army Rangers, and then the most elite helicopter pilots in the world. And I know people within BASOC, and, you know, some of what they do is totally legitimate, you know, going after people that are plotting against the United States. But what's ended up happening is that this force that was meant to be used in sort of a surgical, rare way has become the policy. You know, JSOC is not about converting people to any idea. It's kind of murder, inc., and there's very little effective oversight. And so what's happened under President Obama is, you know, he doesn't want to stick people in Guantanamo for obvious reasons. He had said he was going to close it and it's still open. He doesn't want to give terrorists access to the U.S. justice system. So the kill capture program has largely become a kill program. And you've got this elite force that was really beefed up under Bush and Cheney. And I think that the strategy now is kill your way to victory. And JSOC is the ultimate sort of hammer to use in those operations. But we know everything about the bin Laden raid, including the name of the dog, you know, Cairo, that was on the mission with the Navy SEALs. But we know very little about the thousands of other raids that happen around the world on any given on any given year. And when innocent civilians are killed, there's going to be a price to pay for that. So, you know, these guys are very attractive to a president that doesn't want to deal with high American casualty counts in war zones and doesn't want to give the perception that we actually are at war because it's a fairly discrete force. So to directly answer your question, JSOC has sort of become the policy, not just the implementers of the policy.
In the movie, in your documentary, Dirty Wars, one of the first things we see is you going to investigate what happened in a town in Afghanistan where there was one of these night raids, and there was a party going on at somebody's house, and the special forces showed up, and a lot of people ended up dead. What's not answered in your movie, and I wonder if you know the answer to this question, is how did the U.S. forces get pointed towards that location in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, we allude to it in the film. Part of the thing that happens when you investigate these raids in Afghanistan, and we show this in the film, is that the military won't answer any questions about what happened when it goes wrong and when it goes right. You know, they basically just put out press releases that that hail the sort of, you know, heroics of the operation. So in this particular case, my understanding, and I have a more than 3-year freedom of information request into the military. They still have not given me any answers on this. My understanding from talking to people on the ground is that the American forces are regularly fed bad intelligence by Afghans who are trying to use our special forces to kill their enemies. So in other words, somebody stole your goats 5 years ago or shamed your family in some way. So you send three male members of your family to an American base on different days to say, oh, you know, this house down the road is a Taliban house. They're making IEDs there, or they're preparing suicide bombers there. And I've heard this time and again from friends in the military where, you know, they'll go in and they'll raid a place that they think is a dangerous Taliban stronghold. And oops, we ended up killing, you know, a deputy governor who actually works with the U.S., or in the case of the raid, we investigated a senior police commander who had spent his career fighting against the Taliban and was very pro-American. So I think what happens in these cases is that the American forces are fed bad intelligence. We don't independently verify it. It triggers a night raid, and we end up killing a tremendous number of innocent civilians. In this case, you know, three women were killed, including two pregnant women. And this happens all the time, but you know, in Afghanistan, and it's horrifying. But what was particularly gruesome about this is that instead of sort of owning it and saying, wow, we got had here, the American commandos dug the bullets out of the bodies, including of the pregnant women, and then tried to blame it on the Taliban. And then another time they tried to blame it on the family, saying it was an honor killing. And, you know, they always say that the cover-up is worse than the crime. You know, in this case, I think, you know, both are horrifying, but the fact that they tried to cover it up, I think, is what made it a scandal.
Do you blame the people who are actually going out on these missions, or is this a leadership vacuum?
No, I mean, that's the thing. You know, 10 years ago, if you and I had been talking, I think I would have had a rather cartoonish view of the soldiers that conduct these operations. You know, a lot of these guys, I think, are, you know, incredibly well-educated. They're not buffoons or yahoos, and they believe in their mission. And I think what's ended up happening is that policymakers, Democrats and Republicans, are really misusing this force. And, you know, these guys are going to follow orders, and they're going to take down targets that they're told are dangerous terrorists. And so for me, it's a two-pronged issue here. One is policymakers are whistling past the graveyard and have American soldiers in places where no one wants them, and they're fighting people who are only fighting them because they're there. And then on the other hand, we have terrible intelligence on the ground in many of these countries. So, you know, while there's individual culpability in a case like that where you're covering it up and digging bullets out of a body, and I think the soldiers should be held accountable for that, at the end of the day, this is official U.S. policy, and that's the real scandal, and that's what should be confronted. And it happens under Democrats and Republicans. It's a bipartisan fiasco.
I want to go back to the first thing you mentioned, Jeremy, which is that we are creating more enemies in these villages. Have you seen, not just heard from these people about how they now dislike America because members of their family or their friends have been killed, but have you seen them turn that into action?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I mean, one of the people in our film was a former Army Ranger named Andrew Exum, was, you know, told me specific cases of his unit in Iraq going and targeting people, and they realize that they've hit the wrong people, and then the next day there's a riot, and conventional U.S. soldiers are attacked in retaliation for what happened in their village the previous night. I also have talked with people who told me that they were joining al-Qaeda in Yemen because of a drone strike in their village, and you know, these are people that weren't predisposed to want to join with al-Qaeda. So I think, you know, part of what I'm trying to do here is sound a bit of a wake-up call, because I think we are going to get hit at some point, and I think that the motives for it are going to be either our drone strike program or the specific killing of family members. But in Afghanistan, I mean, many soldiers can tell you stories about a raid gone wrong that resulted in a riot against either Afghan forces being supported by the United States or attacks on conventional U.S. soldiers.
I've only got about 30 seconds left here, but I've got to ask, in the movie, it looks like it's extremely dangerous for you, not just there, but at home as well. True?
Well, you know, all of us that are doing this kind of reporting come under certain pressures. You know, at times, I think all of us get threats. You can get paralyzed by it. And so I try to, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. And I think that's the attitude of a lot of journalists who do this. So we just try to keep focused on the work that we're doing. But, you know, this is a tremendously dangerous time to be a journalist. Record numbers are being killed. And, of course, the Justice Department has been targeting journalists' phone records. And with the NSA scandal, you know, I think all of us have to be very vigilant in protecting our sources and protecting ourselves.
You say in the movie that your computer has been hacked, your hard drive has been hacked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a fascinating look, not just at the story you're telling, but the way you tell it. It is called Dirty Wars. It is in some markets now, expanding across the country into others over this weekend and particularly next weekend, and is also a terrific book as well, a story that is not told, but when Jeremy tells it, it is very well told. And I thank you for joining me here today on America Weekend.
Always great to be with you.
That's Jeremy Scahill. DirtyWars.org is the website if you want to find out more. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America.